You never know where you're going to get some inspiration from God. And so I actually forgot about your homework assignment that I said last week until they played in the garden in that part where the birds were quiet. And then it dawned on me. So I actually jotted it down to mention it now. And then Ruth said it. So it must be pretty important if it was on her mind and mine too. So did you do your homework assignment? Did you go out in nature? Did you get an opportunity to? And I can put you on the spot, but if you didn't, you might need to. And what's funny, it don't have to be in the country either. So I went to Dallas this past week for a few days in the city, and as we were driving through, there's some unique architecture buildings. And I was looking at those, which that's not nature, but God put that thought in some architect's mind and gave him the ability to do that, or she. And the materials God provided for that building or the skyrise. So anywhere on this earth you go, you can be inspired by God's work, his hands in every bit of it, every bit of it. And he is totally in control. He never loses control. And he's there for us. My next inspiration I got this morning was from Buddy and his testimony. I had to jot it down too. And it kind of coincides with what our sermon is going to be today. So Buddy made a statement in there, and so that Jesus, God, knows each and every one of us. And he does. He created us. Remember we had that sermon last week about who God is and creation and stuff. So he created, so he knows us. But the question I want to ask is, do you know him? And so that's the bottom line, what we're going to try to get to today. And we're going to talk about the title, if you want a title, the fullness of Christ. Do you realize exactly who Christ is? And I'll tell you, you're not going to unless you get, and we're not going to look. We're not going to totally wrap our head around something that's not humanly possible. But the closer you walk with God, the more he will reveal to you and his fullness and who he is and what he is. And leading up to today's sermon, in the past, we've been talking about the truth, which is Christ, Jesus. We know we had that sermon on that. And we're talking about his fullness, and everything's leading to Christ. All roads lead to him for our salvation, for our eternity. He's the center line. So turn to Colossians chapter 1. It's stuck in there in the New Testament. So flip towards the back. Then come back forward a little bit, and it's in there somewhere. Chapter 1, verses 15 to 23. I'm not going to read those. I usually don't read that much scripture, but we're going to focus on those 8 or 9 verses, and we're going to try to break them down so we can fully understand, open our minds up to who Jesus, what he really is, and who he is. If I can hold out that long to read that much. If you're there. The Son, that's Jesus, is the image of the invisible God. I want you to pay real close attention. I'm going to try to read this without stopping. Then we'll break it down. But just pick up these key words. So the Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things. He is before all things. And in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue, I'll pick up on this, if you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel, this is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. Let's go to the Lord in prayer for a minute. Dear Heavenly Father, just let's break these few verses down today. Just give me insight on what you have me present, and just let us all have a blessing from it, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. That's a lot of reading. I don't like reading that much. So we're going to break down Christ, who he is, the person Jesus Christ, who he is. We're going to, just three areas we're going to cover. He's the Father, with the Father. He's creation, and he is the church. That's going to, when we get to that point, that's where we come in. We, not this building, we are the church. Jesus is the head of that. We're going to see why and break that down here in a minute. So I have been studying in the book of Daniel until just a while ago when I was reading this. It never, you know, how in the world is Daniel going to tie into Colossians, what we read? But let me tell you, that one section where whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, Jesus is over every bit of that. King David, by divine intervention, was he became the king of Israel. The first king, Saul, was chosen by man. It didn't work out so good for him. Go back and read 1 Samuel, and when you get a chance, and we're not gonna touch a lot on that, but it ties into who Jesus is. Oh, by the way, David is the line that Jesus come from, just by chance. You know, there's no chances, there's no coincidence. God is in control of everything, and everything happens. No matter how bad we mess it up, God is going to correct it and make it right and stuff. His divine intervention will always come through, and he uses us as his vessel, like he did King David and Daniel. I told you I read the book of Daniel also, and I've been studying that. And just all the things that happened through Daniel's life from the time he was a teenager, where we picked the story up, all the way till he was almost 90 years old. And so of all the things that happened to Daniel, him and David had two things in common. They stay focused on Christ. Now, I ain't saying they didn't make a mistake or two down the line, and they didn't get in trouble. They did, here and there. But overall, like we need to be, overall, we need to stay focused on God's purpose for us and what he has for us to do. So, the person Jesus Christ. So, we got to know who Jesus is in order to follow Jesus, to know what we're following. Just don't sound good. Oh, yeah, I call them bandwagons. Jump on the bandwagon, the next hot thing coming down the train and stuff. Don't a fad or whatever you want to call it. Jesus, you have to know him in order to have the relationship that we're going to try to discuss today, that we got to have with him. So who is he in relation to the Father? The first part of Colossians 15 through 19, verse 19, the Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, for God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, one and the same. Y'all get that? One and the same. Jesus and God are one and the same. And what it says, the Son is the image of God. We can't get to God without going through Christ. Bottom line, period, I don't care what anybody else says, there's only one way to get to God, and that's through Jesus Christ, his Son, which is the image of God. He provided his Son for us in order to get to him and know who God is. He's the image of him. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in Jesus, what the scripture says. He wanted him, say, here it is, put him here on earth, for that short 33 years to provide the way for salvation for us to get to God. You know, I can't never do a sermon without, I got to throw some John in there, you know, I call it. So John 14:9 tells us, Jesus answered, don't you know me? Do you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? So his own disciple that walked with him had some questions. Do you ever have any questions? We're not going to get it 100% all the time, right? But that's where your faith comes in. That's where you got to lean on the Word and on Jesus. Even his disciples that been walking around with him all this time and seeing these miracles and things still had a question. Let's don't bash him, because we ain't much different. Sometimes we get in situations and want to know where God is at. And he's there. He's always there. And just like Jesus said, you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Now, fast forward to us. How do we see God? How do we see through Jesus, through his Word he provided for us, and studying and getting close to him? And that's how we get to see the Father, is what Jesus done for us. And then Colossians also breaks it down, said he's relation to the Father. He is the Father. He is, they're one and same. Also, who is he in relation to all creation? And we talked a lot about creation last week. And so I'm not going to hit a lot of what we covered last week. But he is the firstborn over all creation. Got news for you. When God created the heavens and the earth, Genesis 1:1, guess who was there? Read John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, is God. And I'm paraphrasing. Jesus was there the whole time. Jesus didn't just come along this earth 2,000 years ago. As a human, he did. As a man, he walked this earth. He was always there before, always. The psalmist in Psalms 89:27 tells us, and I will appoint him to my firstborn, the most exalted of the kings of the earth. So even the psalmist, way before Jesus walked this earth, already put him what he is. And so he's the king of the earth. He's the king, he's the ruler. He is the creator of all creation. And Colossians, what we read a while ago, 16 and 17, tells us, for in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth. That's everything. If you don't know what that means, put it in our terms, that's everything. Everything you can think of, the universe, the world, however you want to break it down, Jesus is the creator of everything. Whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Now, I don't know about y'all. If y'all heard any feedback, I have it work some a little bit. And so why did God allow that to happen over in Central Texas? Y'all ever thought about it? I'll give you the simple answer to that. We don't know why. We just don't. And as Christians, to show the world what Jesus wants us to show them, we have to lead by example and don't question God. We don't need to question. He knows, and that's the only thing that matters. He knows what happened and why it happened. We can get into a bunch of different reasons why it could have happened, but we need to focus on that he's still in control. He still has a hold of it. He holds everything together. Hebrews 1:1-2 tells us, in the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us through his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. I want to challenge you one of these days, when you get an opportunity, and study the prophets and study the different ways that God used them. And I think a big reason behind it is because everybody's a little different. Same with us today. We present the word different than, I present it different than whoever. And so each person has somebody they can reach. There's people I can't reach that other people can. And same thing with the prophets. They're no different than what we were. They were men walking the earth just like we were. And God used their strengths and what they needed to do to get the word out. And God will do the same for you. He will, see there, I can't even talk. He will provide the way for you to get his word across if you submit to him and obey what he tells you to do. It just so happens, here's a verse from John 1:1-3. We already kind of read it. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. That's a little wordy with a lot of word and God. Well, bottom line is Jesus and God are one. The same. He was there. He was there when God was there, before the beginning of time. As you know, time was for us, you know, right? They're not ruled by time, governed by time. We are. Time was created for us to live by, the world of creation. They was there before all that come into play. They was already there. So he was the firstborn over creation. He's the creator of creation. And he is the goal of creation. Goal, G-O-A-L. I know I can't talk right today. The goal, what does that mean? It means creation was for him. Colossians 1:16. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones, powers, wherever we read that, created through him and for him. So not only was it created through him, it was created for him, which in turn means it's for us. That's right. We got to have him. We're not getting there unless we have him. Nope. There's, again, I can't put enough emphasis on that. There's only one way. John 14:6. You know, I hardly ever go without saying it. And so you got to go through Jesus. There's no way around it. For from him and through him and for him all things, to him be the glory. That's Romans 11:36. Even Paul recognized it when he wrote to the Roman church. Revelation also tells us, this is Jesus speaking, matter of fact, I am the Alpha and Omega, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. That's Jesus himself speaking in Revelation. Gave the revelation to John of what was, is, and going to be. So you got your past, future, and present right there. God always was, Jesus always was, he still is, and he's still going to be. Eternity. There's no. That was the goal. That's why he's the goal of it. And he's also the predecessor, meaning before creation. We kind of touched on that, but. Colossians 1:17, he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. John 17, there's a scripture that says, I have bought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me, this is Jesus talking to his Father, in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. Did you catch that? Jesus was saying while he was here, give me the glory that I had before I came here. Father, I want those you have given me to be with where I am. Now this is talking to us, Christians. If you've got Christ, you accepted Christ, this is him speaking about us. He said, you have given me to with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. He predates the world. He's before that. So he already had the love, already had the glory. Now look, he gave up his glory, come to this earth for you and I. Did he have to? No. He had to for us, But he made that choice. His love was so much for us that he left all his glory and came here to walk this earth for us. And thank God he did. Literally, thank God he did. Now look, I get stupid thoughts sometimes, crazy thoughts. And so have you ever wondered, when Jesus was walking this earth for 33 years, 2,000 years ago, and all the technology they didn't have back then and stuff, and this is joking, he didn't do this, but, you know, he said, Lord, I don't even have a cell phone. I don't have air conditioning. I could have came. He could have come anytime he wanted to. So why did he come then? That was the right time for God's timing. That's why. And whatever reason. But anyway, I had those crazy thoughts, you know, why he could have come at a more comfortable time in life when he could have had AC. But he didn't. Very truly I tell you, Jesus answered, before Abraham was born, I am. We had that lesson before. I am. At the burning bush, when Moses asked God who you are, I am. Jesus was telling them, before Abraham, I am. And stuff. So that's putting him with the category of God. That's why they picked up stones ready to kill him. Because he was putting himself, or not putting himself, he is in that place. In their mind, they was wondering, hey, that's blasphemy. You're not God. You know, we watch you grow up here. But they were seeing the human side of it. They didn't see his full glory. And he is the sustainer of all life, of all creation. Colossians 1:17, he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is a reconciler of all creation. Like I said, nothing happens without him knowing it. Nothing happens without him allowing it. Now, you know we live in a fallen world, right? Satan runs the world because God lets him. And bad things are going to happen. That's just the way it is. But sometimes it's self-inflicted. Sometimes it's because we live in a fallen world because of Satan. So our job is, what we need to do, focus on Christ. Whatever comes down the road, whatever bump we cross, we need to stay loyal and faithful to God, to Christ. He's still in control no matter what happens. The worst thing that can happen to us as a Christian is go live with him for eternity. Whatever happens here does not matter. Now, we all got plans. You know, we want to see different things. Our children grow up. You know, we want to see all this stuff. Ultimately, look at the big picture. At the end, it's not going to matter. None of it's going to matter. And really not going to matter if you don't accept Christ. What's going to matter is why you're suffering for eternity. Because you didn't accept Christ. You have to make that decision. We talk about it all the time. It's a choice. You had to make the choice, either follow Christ or not. And the deal is, if you don't make the choice to follow Christ, your choice to follow Satan is already done. You don't have to verbally say, I don't want to follow Satan. If you don't accept Christ, guess who you're following? Guess where you're going? As simple as that. You have to acknowledge who Jesus is and have that relationship, which we'll talk about in a minute. Have that relationship, not know who Jesus is. I know a lot of people. But do you know him? Do you have that relationship? There's a difference. And that's what we need to discuss. And he is the head of the body. This is Colossians 1:18. The church, he is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have supremacy. So what's he mean by the firstborn among the dead? Jesus died on that cross for you and I. 3 days later, he come up out of there, resurrected. And he is still alive today, live and well, very well. Now, you read stories, you know, he raised Lazarus from the dead, he raised a little girl and stuff, but they died again. Physically, they died again. Jesus didn't. He stayed alive. He defeated death for you and I. And he did it for his church, which is us. And that's why he stayed alive. And he ascended back to heaven. And the church age started. That's what we're living in now, the church age. And he gave us a call. He gave us a purpose, not just to show up on Sundays, but to go out there and do his work, present his word, his gospel. The work of Jesus Christ. So this is what I'm trying to get to. So we talked about who he is, what he is. What's it mean for us? What's it mean for us? First of all, he has reconciled you. Jesus, in your past, you don't want to use the big word reconcile. What it means is, until you accepted Christ, you was doomed for death. So Jesus gave you the opportunity. You choose Christ, and then he'll reconcile you. He'll fix you up. He'll cover you with his blood. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and from free of accusation on the cross. He did it on the cross. And so I like a guy, the way he put it one time, it ain't just real good language, but I cleaned it up. He said, we're just dirty rags. That's all we are. We're dirty rags. But Jesus took the blood and he cleaned us without blemish. Through Christ, we're perfect. Get that. Nobody's perfect on your own. Through Christ, walking with him, then we got it. He cleaned us up. He will restore you. So he took your past, he cleaned it up, and then for your future, he restored you. He cleaned you up, fixed you up to restore you for eternity. And I say, I don't know how many times, the day you accept Christ, that moment forward, you're living in that eternity world, in that perspective, in eternity. You have eternity for your future with Jesus Christ. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in sight, without blemish and free from accusation. That's for your future. So we talk about the past, the future, and then he is remaking you right now in your present. So he cleaned your past up, so don't worry about the past. Christ forward, you got Christ. Don't worry about the past. It's done. Nothing you knew about it. But he fixed it, took care of it. Don't dwell on your past. A lot of people, and I was included at some point, don't let your past drag you down because you're showing a disrespect to God, because he told you, just told us, I cleaned you up. I fixed you. So you move forward. You keep moving forward. You know, we talk about the armor of Christ that he provides for us. It's all for the front because we're moving forward. We don't worry about the past. And then your future, you know where you're going. But now, while we're here, the present, you got to build it, keep building that relationship and get closer to him. And the more he will reveal to you, the more opportunities he will give you to do his purpose, which is to reach people for Christ. So he is remaking you. If you don't accept Christ, and that's it. What Brother Glenn just called it, fire insurance. Just don't get fire insurance. Because the truth be known, it might not be a good policy. I don't know. You know, they might need to keep moving on a little bit and growing closer. God will reveal more to you as you get closer to him. So don't just settle for fire insurance. And be on the A team, not the B team. Don't be sitting on the bench all the time. Y'all good now. Y'all stay where you're at. So here's the deal. Colossians 1:23. I got two more scriptures I'm going to read. And I want you to listen to these. That means you got to do something. If you continue in your faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. If you continue your walk with Christ, you might not be in the pulpit, you might not be a Sunday school teacher, you might not, whatever, but there is something that he is going to provide for you. But obedience your faith first, and you got to obey and listen to him and do what he tells you to do. And I close with this scripture, Philippians 2, 10 through 11, that at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the Lord to the glory of God the Father. So if you follow Christ or not, one day you're going to have to meet him. You're going to have to talk to him. And so if you want that to be a good conversation. So who Jesus is, he's your Lord and Savior, number one. And he is your everything. There's nothing in this world that you endure or go through, good or bad, that Jesus shouldn't be wrapped up in it. And Jesus is everything, provided you the opportunity. Remember, he came from his glory to come down here for you and I to give us that opportunity. And so who is Jesus? He's God himself that wants us to receive him and have eternal glory with him. He wants to share that inheritance with us. So as you stand, bow your heads, we'll pray. In a minute, it'll be a song of invitation. If you had not received Christ, there ain't no better day to do it than right now. No better day. Perfect day. You don't get no better than that. You don't get no, what's that old saying? Don't get no gooder. It's time to do it. The altars will be open if you need to pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. This opportunity to hear your word. Just be with us. We take it to heart. And we do what your word you want us to do, Lord. Just thank you for the many blessings you've done. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.